What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hello, Redheads. Welcome to the first episode of the Redheads Book Club. Wow, I'm so excited to be here. This has been a few weeks in the making. That's the longest I've ever waited to do something. And I'm here with two of my best friends, Dana and Rebecca, a.k.a. Becky, a.k.a. Bex, and of course, my favorite counselor, Counselor Snitch. I think we have a great crew going for this book club.
What up, 100%.
What's up, everyone? Snitch is the Snatchler, so you know who she is.
Do I need to introduce myself? Allow me to introduce myself.
Do you have something that you want to say
no.
to maybe some new listeners?
Yeah, and maybe talk about my journey. Need a reading. Hi guys, I'm the Snitch. My name is actually Margot, but you'll never hear that name. I am a big young adult reader.
So YA,
basically,
we call it in the book
all the
world.
Books that everyone else is going to be choosing won't be up my alley, but it's fine. I'm still here. I love to read. I actually got my sister Jackie into reading, and now she all of a sudden created a podcast and, you know, just like decided that this was her thing when this has been my thing, but you know, it's fine.
Wow.
It's fine. So that's a little bit about Snitch. If you guys want to follow me, I'm at Margashre, and I have a podcast called The Snatchler. So yep, that's me.
We're so happy to have you here to have your perspective. I think the thing that makes a book club great is having a lot of different personalities with people who feel different ways about each book. So every 4 months you're going to be able to pick a book and we're going to be reading.
Yeah,
you guys
will be like, this is trash. Are you okay, Margo?
Books about 12-year-olds falling in love.
Right.
Right.
I love that we're talking about reading like it's this newfound adventure, like this new frontier that we haven't yet discovered.
That's literally me. It's like read one book. We should start a book club.
I got Jackie so into reading.
Right. Also, we did start a book club with some of our college friends, and it was so much fun. So now we're still a part of that book club. That's our dinner book club. But this is our book club podcast. And I mean, I read probably when I'm in a good rhythm, a book every 2 days. So I could do literally this podcast every week, but I won't do that to everyone else.
Yeah. Do you know what you did to me?
All of us.
Snitch would eat me
it
alive.
Was a race to the death. I have seven more pages and starts in 1 minute.
Even the Redheads, by the way, I hope you guys like your fan name, the Redheads. They were like, wait, are we supposed to finish this book in 4 days? I was like, yeah. And then you like,
no. And then
what are
Jackie
you going to do
like,
after that?
And if it's a bad book, we can just start a new one the night before and finish it.
It's like not possible.
We have plenty of time to read four if we hate the first three.
Also, I didn't even know how long this book was. It's 500 pages.
Okay. Really?
Okay.
Sure is.
I figured because...
I don't know how long anything is with Kindle.
Me neither. But I usually can read a book in a day. Like, I always do. But you did happen to choose to do this on, like, the busiest week of my life. So nothing was coinciding. But it really was taking so long to get through. And I'm a fast reader. I was like, what the fuck? So that makes me feel better that it was 500 pages.
I was constantly 30% my way through the book.
Oh, and man, I was like, 33.
And that's such a dismal place to be. Like,
terrible.
You're not
so
yet
true.
At 50%, but you're like not even that close to 50%.
No.
It was hard.
And 30% in this book was a rough place to be because, like, you still didn't care. We're going to talk about all of our thoughts on the book, but I want you guys to introduce yourselves. That soothing sound you've been hearing, that's Rebecca.
Yeah, by the way, what? Your voice is amazing.
You're really? Actually the only person here who's never done a podcast before because Dana once came on the Patreon. But you know what?
Okay.
I think you're a diamond in the rough.
Me too.
I'm so happy to hear this. And I'm actually very relieved about the sound of my voice because, you know, it's been a minute since I heard myself. And apologies in advance if you're not down, but hopefully you are.
Well, I'm here for it.
Thanks, Jax.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure.
Oh, God.
My name's Rebecca Rittenberg, and as Jackie mentioned, like, there are a few ways that I am referred, just here and also in life. So my longtime nickname is Ritt, R-I-T-T,
And you can also call me Becky. I mean, only if we really like each other.
Pretty much everyone in the world calls you Rit, except for me.
Yeah.
I've just never been one of those people who calls people by their last names. Like, I find it deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah. You're really not that sort. You're nothing of the sort.
Rebecca is also longtime toaster, first-time hoster.
That is so true. So, I'm really happy to be here. I'm literally the Toast number one fan, so it's actually very convenient that we're best friends, Jax, because, like, I'd be here anyway.
Yeah, and it's convenient that you listen to the Toast, so I don't have to update you on, like, every mundane thing in my life, because you've already heard about it.
I know. I wonder if people are going to, like, pick up on mannerisms that, like, I feel like I speak the same as you just because friendship and also Toast dumb.
Have you been saying nothing of the sort left, right, and center?
1,000%.
It's everything of the sort.
1,000%. So as I mentioned, I'm really happy to be here. In terms of hobbies, they basically include loitering around until I'm asked to join a podcast so that I can tell people I have hobbies.
This is like the hobby of all hobbies.
100%.
Really. Yeah. Like, first it's reading, then it's book clubbing, and then it's podcasting. We're a triple threat, you guys.
You guys, I've been going around to everyone. I'm like, have you heard that I'm starting a podcast? And they're like, what? And I was like, more to come.
More to come. How do your friends and family feel about you being on a podcast?
I mean, they're thrilled. I've been pimping it out like it's like this business venture that like is about to fall through the cracks if we don't like all attack it soon. So, I mean, I feel like it's like a firstborn child. Everyone's pumped. I think there'll be loyal subscribers, 5-star reviewers. It's going
to
be good.
Love it. Love your dedication to the pod.
Thank you.
Dana?
So unlike Rit's very soothing ocean voice, I sound like a creepy man.
You really do.
I really have just a terrible voice for podcasting. But I'm so excited about this book club because I love reading and I'm finally getting some credit for it.
Dana's really the OG reader.
That's fair. I'll give
English
it to her.
Major, mm-hmm. Photographic memory. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call you out because I think it's so cool. Could you recite this book by heart?
Do you actually have photographic memory?
Not in the real sense, but I remember everything and it's okay. A real blessing and a curse because if you've ever wronged me ever, like, I will never forget it.
Yeah.
And every time I talk to you, I'll think about it in the back of my head. Mm-hmm.
That's what makes you so scary.
Totally.
Because you'll still be nice to us, even though you're thinking about it.
Even though you remember stuff.
Yeah.
Everything. You can see it so clearly.
But besides remembering every time I've been wronged, my hobbies also include reciting 50 digits of pi. I'll tell anyone who asks that I memorized pi.
We'll have you do that for the March episode.
Yeah, definitely.
That'll be exciting for the Redheads.
March 14th. I also memorized the song lyrics to every song. Like,
that's true.
Really just to sound cool when it comes on and I can just rap it and no one thinks it's cool except for me.
It's really
everyone's like, calm down.
It's a coping mechanism for you because you can't dance.
Yeah, that too.
I was just going
to
say that.
So it is a coping mechanism. You need to know the lyrics so that you can act them out.
Yes.
You're like, I heart you.
I put my hands up, singing my song. Like, it all has to go into
the
activity.
It's a giant distraction. Like, we're like, wow, Dana knows every word. And in her head, she's like, no, you just don't notice that I can't dance.
Yes,
that really is it.
Exactly.
And other than that, I'm just really obsessed with Amy Schumer, and that's what I spend most of my time doing, watching videos of her.
Yeah, and sending them around and making sure everyone has seen them. I think that's pretty respectable of a hobby.
Yeah, those three.
Cool. Well, I want to get to know some of your guys' book tastes because we all really have different tastes. So I want to know your favorite genre of books, what we can expect you to choose when it is your time of the month, and what is your favorite book? Now, I'll go first because I'm already talking. And
how dare you?
Is that okay?
That's definitely okay.
We are the Redheads.
I'm just curious what your favorite book is.
Oh, my favorite book are the Confessions of a Shopaholic series. Every single one of them is better than the next. I just read Christmas Shopaholic, and I was just laughing and laughing. And that's kind of the reason why I call you Becky, I think, because the main character is Becky Bloomwood, and that's why I just, like, love the name Becky. And I really do think that's why I call you that.
Oh, my gosh. It's such a fun fact.
Such a fun fact.
This is the benefit of podcasting. We're learning so much about each other.
You really do learn so much about people.
Because you just have to talk and talk and talk until you are out of things to say.
Honestly, it's like about time that we have a podcast because we talk and talk and talk. And I'm like, someone should hear this. It's good material.
I feel like that's how everyone feels. So it's like how back in the day we used to say, like, we should have a reality show.
Fuck, you're right. Like, it's not actually going to be good.
And no one cares.
And then my favorite genre of books are like rom-com, funny, romantic books. So I love Sophie Kinsella. She's my favorite author. She writes Confessions of a Shopaholic. Snitch made me read this book one day in December that I really liked.
Was that Sophie Kinsella?
No, that's Josie
Silver.
Okay.
But I love that genre of just like happy love stories with like a little bit of, you know, tension,
based
but ultimately a happy ending. Every book that I read is based in London. Fun fact about me. Snitch.
Well, my favorite genre is young adult. I like romance novels, maybe because I'm lacking romance, so I like to read them.
Snitch, you'll get there.
Yeah, one day, maybe. And then my favorite book is Endless Love by Scott Spencer, which is also a movie, but vastly different. The book is vastly different. I would say that they are basically two different plots. So that's probably my favorite book. My favorite author is Colleen Hoover because I'm a basic fucking bitch and all of her books are just fantastic. And yeah, that's just a bit about me. I love, you know, just I'm a sucker for a romance.
Okay.
Good to hear.
Who would have thought?
Everyone.
Bex?
Well, I didn't know that we were coming equipped with authors, so thanks for that heads up. However, in terms of my favorite genre, I would have to say, like, historical fiction I really enjoy.
Oh, God.
I know.
Please don't make me read historical fiction.
Gird your loins, snitch.
Like, anything about World War II.
Oh, my God.
But as long as it's not real.
Okay.
Historical nonfiction. So in that vein, I would say The Nightingale is such a phenomenal book. Like, it's such an amazing read.
By Kristen Hanna?
Yes.
I've heard about it, but then God. I saw that it was about, like, World War II, and yeah. I didn't want to read it.
No, oh, my God. Good. It is so freaking good.
Okay. Good to know.
That's a really good one, yeah. And then I would say another amazing book is I Am Pilgrim, which you might already know about, those listeners who are loyal as fuck, because I convinced Jackie to read it under this, like, false pretense. I was like, it's my favorite book. You have to read it. You'll love it. It's different than what you normally read.
There was no false pretense. That's what you just said is the truth. That's your favorite book. It's different from what I normally read. And once I started, like, reading a lot when I got a Kindle, I was like, wow, this is my favorite book, and it says so much about me. If you're telling me that's your favorite book, I want to know what your favorite book is. It told me so much about you. Like, oh, this is smart bitch.
Did you like it?
Well, loved it. Okay. Loved it.
It's incredible. It's this thriller about a serial killer who becomes entangled in a terrorist conspiracy.
It was really crazy.
Okay. So, like, if that tells you something about me, I'm really happy to hear it.
Yeah, I look forward to when you do choose the book. Oh, you're choosing the book this month?
No, and I think it's going to be a hit. It's very different from an I Am Pilgrim, but honestly, I Am Pilgrim, it's like this incredible thriller. If we're ever talking about a book, that's what I recommend. It's a thick read, you know? It's like you're going to get in the thick of it, but it'll pay off tenfold.
Is it one of those, like, books that, like, gives you a stomach ache? Do you know what I mean?
It's one of those books
you can't put down.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. You'll stay up till 4 in the morning reading it. Like, yeah, you will not go to sleep.
You read it. Well, Dana, you've also read everything in the world. So I'm curious to know, out of everything that you've ever read, what is your favorite book?
My favorite book ever is A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara, where I don't know what that says about me, because it is, like, the darkest, sickest book that you'll ever read.
It says everything about you. Yeah.
It's, like, really not okay. But I love, love, love that book. My favorite author is Jeffrey Eugenides.
We should put, like, is it a trigger warning? Is that what it is? When it comes to A Little Life.
No, A Little Life
that
is
book
scary.
Is dark.
Yeah. Really?
Yes, it's dark.
But should I read it, like, in the off season?
In the off season.
Okay.
Wow, you guys harmonized.
They're getting so good. Stop. Sweet. And what's your favorite genre? Just sad?
Dark, psychological, realistic fiction.
Wow, I can't wait for a month where you choose the book. Like, that's just going to be such an uplifting episode.
It's going to be a really sad month.
We should put Dana in the middle of, like, summer so we can, like, counteract the darkness with the sunshine.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, we'll do that. Well, we need to start talking about the book. But I also think that the really fun thing about book clubs is that people just use them as a way to, like, get together but not even read the book sometimes. I hope we all intend to read the book every month, but it is nice just to catch up with my girlfriends and my sister.
Right, it's so rare.
It's so rare. Okay, well, now that we know who everyone is, I think it's time to just get into this book. I was the one who chose it. This was my choice because it was next on my reading list, because a lot of toasters had suggested it to me, and I had recently read What Alice Forgot, which I thought would have been a great book club book also because it poses some interesting questions. The book, The Husband's Secret, is by Leanne Moriarty, who also did Big Little Lies. So I just felt like I could trust what she had next. And if anything, I trusted too much because it was literally Big Little Lies plus What Alice Forgot to a T.
It was literally, same thing.
The way she tells stories was very similar to Big Little Lies. And then the characters and the location and just the writing was so similar to What Alice Forgot for me.
I agree. Has anyone here read Big Little Lies?
No.
Yes.
I haven't read it.
Of course
Dana
has.
Of course Dana has.
Did you watch the show?
I didn't watch the show. Wow. I know.
Of course you didn't.
I actually liked What Alice Forgot better. I wish they made a show of that. I go, that's like kind of a harder one, though, because it's not a series type of book.
Yeah.
But like, that was a better one, in my opinion.
Yeah, I really liked that one. So for this book, I liked it. And I feel like anytime I finish reading a book, I'm like, well, yeah, I liked it. I read the whole thing and I can talk about it now.
Right. Speaking of, that's why this podcast book club is so incredible, because when you finish a book, you feel so accomplished and you're like, I just want to tell the world that I finished a book. Right. And I sort of want to talk about it for sure, but like, I want to let them know that I finished it. So like, imagine all of us finishing a book and actually being able to talk about it. It's genius, you guys.
Yeah. And like, everyone will know that we read at least one book a month.
100%.
Like, they're going to be so
That's
impressed
12
with us.
Books a year.
That's a lot. And my New Year's resolution was to read more, because I have found, since I got a Kindle, I've been reading, and it's really helped with my mental health and my migraines and just anxiety and falling asleep. And if you're just listening to this book club because you like the Morning Toast podcast, like, I know it seems so overwhelming to like get a Kindle or buy a book, but it's a game changer.
Could not agree more.
Well, Jackie, you watch a lot of TV. Like, how do you prioritize?
I prioritize what I have to watch for the toast and what I have to recap the next day. But any chance, I try to just watch what the things that I need to watch and then read before bed. Because watching TV before bed, I feel like I can't turn off.
Yeah. Did anybody else, this is a new thing that's been happening to me, like, constantly fall asleep while reading this book?
Yeah, of course.
No, I would wake up with
a deadline.
I would wake up with my glasses still on and my Kindle like on my face.
Yeah, that's never happened to me.
Well, I feel like what was nice is that we're picking like the Bravo equivalent of novels.
Yes.
So it's like reality TV, but like for your eyes.
Yes. So overall, what was your vibe from the book? We're gonna get into themes and, you know, deep moral questions, but overall, I liked the book. It was very hard to get into. I didn't like how it switched perspectives, because every time I started to care about someone, it switched. And then I had to care about someone again. It felt like I was reading a new book over and over again. And at 30%, I still wasn't even into it. Probably not until like 40, 50%.
I totally agree. That part was tough, because right when you got into it, you switched. However, there was an effect that was achieved with that, where like, your energy as a reader almost matched the characters, because you felt the same like anxiety and apprehension that they did by constantly having to switch perspectives. So it kind of like gave you a lens into how they were feeling, which I didn't like. Like, I would have preferred it to not be that way, but it was an interesting device.
Yeah, I feel like you were really irritated by it. I didn't mind it so much, like the jumping from character to character. It kept me interested. Like, I actually didn't have a hard time getting into the book at all, which is why I feel like it's a great book club choice. And it just kept me, like, invested. I was like, okay, like, I got to get through Tess's section before I get to better understand, like, what the hell is happening with Cecilia.
I actually, like, hated it. I didn't hate the book, per se. Like, it definitely wasn't my favorite, but I couldn't stand the way that it was written. Like, I hated that the second I started to care, it changed. And then I was like, ugh, like, I have to deal with Rachel right now? Like, I'm just not in the mood. Because, like, just give me a little bit more. They would literally stop, like, mid-sentence. And it's just like, this doesn't seem like the right way to write a novel.
Mm-hmm. You tell her, Smith.
Yeah, Leanne, I've got a bone to pick. But, yeah, I wouldn't really say this book was that good.
Well, even when they did resolve it, like, you spend the first half waiting and waiting for her to read the letter. And then she reads the letter, and then you spend the second half waiting and waiting to see if she's going to turn him in or what they're going to do.
What do you mean? Nothing happened in the book until the epilogue.
That's also true. In a book where we have to read and read and read to find out things that happened in the past. When it's like, the characters already know what happened, so, like, share with us, and then let's go on a journey together. Don't, like, hold out all this information from us just for, like, your literary purposes.
Right. And like, maybe it's because I'm stupid, but like, I could not keep up. Like, first we were in the Berlin Wall. It was in like 1940s, whenever that was. And then
not the 1940s.
And then it's just like, I just couldn't keep up. And do you know how long it took me to figure out who like Cecilia was and just like place names?
Here's the problem with the book. The name Rachel is not a grandma's name.
Yes.
Here's the thing about the book. All the names were like a little too generic.
I totally agree.
Blending them together
Tess
in my
head. Tess is Felicity and Felicity is Tess.
Yes. It was just like, they were all sort of quirky enough to like not be like John.
But then also there's a John Paul.
John Paul Jones, were you thinking of that the whole time?
Oh my
you're
God. Oh, I didn't
know. No, Jean
oh
my Paul. God. John Paul. Where did that come from?
Yeah, no. He's French.
Yeah.
I was Fitzpatrick. Like, John Paul, like.
No, you're so right. That's an epic point that none of the names fit the characters. Rachel's not
like,
a grandma.
I was like, who am I talking about? I couldn't, when I was picturing Rachel, I couldn't see a grandma. Also, I have a really,
weird question for you guys.
I feel like you're going to say what I'm thinking.
Wait, what?
Is it about Esther?
No.
Okay.
You said. Who says?
I'm like,
the daughter. Oh. I got a vote to make. How old was she? I need to know. Because she was like the Berlin Wall, and the way she would like speak, it's like, is this her teenage daughter? Every time I read when it was a Cecilia and Esther conversation, I thought Esther was Cecilia and Cecilia was Esther.
Like, because the kid was talking like an adult.
Yes. I had to reread those parts so many times to realize who was talking.
Oh, that's interesting. That's not what I was going to say. I found it weird. Whenever you read a book and you imagine a house, like, I realized I was imagining, like, a random house from my childhood that wasn't mine. Like, everyone was living in this. What house do you imagine in your head? Is that a weird thing?
I mean,
thing?
I can't say it out loud because, like, no. She could be here listening. No, but, like, okay, but I was 1,000% picturing Rachel's house from growing up.
Rachel.
Not, it happens to just be the same name, but, like.
Oh, a person that you
yes.
know. Like, a weird house. Not the house that you grew up
no.
in. Like, a house down the street.
A little creakier.
Yeah. What house do you picture?
I don't picture a house that I've ever been in. Like, I actually picture.
You build a new house?
I build a new house.
What about you? I realize in every book that I read, I put these people in the same house, and it's so random.
I have this weird thing. I don't really have, like, an imagery association when I read. Like, I'm not building the characters. I don't know what they look like in my head. I'm, like, not fixated on what the house looks like.
Yeah, you're soon going to learn that Dana's a serial killer. Like, everything concludes.
But. No, I just, like, if you ask me how to describe what Rachel looks like, I don't even have, like, an image ready.
I do. It just popped in.
Oh, okay. We'll get there.
I've seen her in my dreams.
In one of our redhead segments coming up later on where we cast the movie of the book.
Right. But casting is different than what I'm imagining. Do you know what I mean? Because that person doesn't exist.
No, for Rachel, I did have like a faceless grandma, sweet lady.
Me too.
You know?
I had kind of like a mean old lady.
No.
Well, yeah, that was the thing. It was like she was so super sweet and she's been through so much, but she was really rude to her daughter-in-law who seemed like a perfect daughter-in-law. What could she be doing better? And she loved the macarons.
Yeah, that whole dynamic was really confusing. I didn't understand, like, what the issue was.
I can't imagine, like, what the daughter-in-law says about the mother-in-law behind her back, you know?
Right. Which is so sad because she was so eager to please every time Rachel gave her an inch, she, like, ran and took a mile.
Yeah, I think in the end, they all, you know, they ended in a good place.
That's what it seemed.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll get to the end. I want to talk about some themes in the book that Dana had mentioned. She did a very deep analysis of some of these themes. So first of all, in the beginning, they're all watching The Biggest Loser, which is an interesting choice for a show to connect them all.
They kept bringing it back.
What is the meaning of this?
I don't know. Maybe it's about loss.
That's what Dana thinks.
Everyone's lost something, and this is just representative of that. Like, the weight that people are losing are, like, the I don't know.
The deaths,
but also Cecilia losing, like, her loyalty to her husband or, like, the innocence that she had.
Wow, that's literally what Dana wrote in her notes.
I hadn't
seen
them.
Dana sent me this, like, whole outline, like, college level. And it made me realize, like, something that I learned in college once, which is that I'm not an analytical thinker. I'm very surface. And maybe that's why you can't imagine the characters or where they live, because you're anti-surface. Like, you're only just seeing it as, like, a mass of
psychological Maybe, but I don't think you give yourself stuff. Enough credit. I actually do think you're pretty analytical.
Thanks.
Like, maybe not in a reading level, but, like, in life, you analyze things very well. And it's the same skill set.
What about me?
And you too, Rin.
I'm definitely not analytical.
Thanks.
Like, reading comprehension, I sucked at that.
Okay, well, question
Snitch,
for you.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
In thinking about this book and the biggest losses, who do you think lost the most? Rachel with her daughter? Tess with her husband, Cecilia with her innocence.
Rachel with her daughter.
That's a question that Dana put on her thing.
Like, well, okay, I was focused on, like, weight, as you mentioned, Snitch is a huge theme. Literally, Felicity lost 1,000 pounds.
Oh, right, that too.
So that's, like, a literal level weight, which we can relate to The Biggest Loser. But then everyone was losing weight in some way. Like, when... what's the husband's name?
Will.
John Paul Jones. Oh. When he told the secret, he was a huge weight off of his shoulders. Like, everyone in some way was unloading.
Yeah, but then it became a weight on Celia's shoulders.
Right.
So the weight never really went away.
Which
is
shifted.
I have a question for you guys. Before you read the letter, what did you think the secret was?
I thought that he was abusing Isabel.
Okay.
Me too.
No, that was annoying because I did too. And then she vocalized it. So I knew that's what it couldn't be.
Yeah.
That's true. But then obviously they left it on the cliffhanger of that chapter when she started the letter and he's like to Isabel, and I'm like,
I know,
is this an apology for the abuse?
Oh,
but she said like, oh my god, is my husband a pedophile who's been abusing my daughter and goes on this whole train? I'm like, well, obviously he's not, because you wouldn't like clue the reader
into
that.
It's always the thing you don't expect.
I thought it still had something to do with Isabel, because like that
was made such a big point, but I thought it was maybe going to be that Isabel like wasn't their real like legitimate daughter.
Oh wait, I'm sorry. Oh, I actually knew. I forgot. I told you this.
You did
yeah,
tell
I
me.
Guess that John Paul killed Janie because it was the same writer from Big Little Lies, so same theme. And I remember I texted my roommate who had read it. I was like, John Paul totally killed Janie. And then she just didn't answer me. And then later that night, I read it and he did. And so I texted her. I was like, I'm a genius. So
impressive.
I fully guessed it.
I have
never crossed my mind.
Would you guys have opened the letter?
I don't know. I honestly don't think so.
Oh, I don't think so either.
What? I would open it in 1 second.
I don't understand.
And I wouldn't tell anybody.
I don't understand what took her so long.
Yeah. No, I was like, open it. It's not
but
you
waited
people.
Days.
No.
Dana, like, that's so you. You would, like, yeah. open it and then just be like, miserable for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I guess then that begs the question of, would you rather not know?
100%.
Like, and that's,
ignorance is bliss,
and
baby.
That's another
like, ride that out until the sunset.
That's another theme, is this Pandora's box thing. Like, once you open the box, you can never fucking close it. And I love a closed box.
Right, but what about, like, I would always go to sleep with the question of, like, what the fuck is in that letter? I need to know.
Oh, I would forget after
myself,
1 week.
No, you wouldn't.
No, I would.
I would say to myself, oh, it's like, he says that he loves me, and here's where, you know, he keeps his files, and just, like, some need-to-know things, like maybe some bank account information.
I believe just, you
okay.
really wouldn't
okay.
open
and
it.
Also, I really feel like it's not my business. It's like if your husband or your significant other had a diary and you found it, would you read it?
But the diary is addressed to you.
But it's not. No. It's not addressed to you in this current moment.
Okay, let me beg the question. Then.
I would read it after the person passes away.
She had decided not to read it. But then when she heard him rummaging upstairs, clearly trying to find it and get rid of it, you're not going to then go run and read it like she did?
Ooh.
That's a good
this
point.
This makes an interesting point.
Yeah.
That was actually
you're like, what's he hiding?
Yeah, I guess she wasn't going to read it until he acted so guilty.
Mm-hmm.
I would have just assumed it was something benign. And if it was something so crazy, like, I wouldn't want to know because now, like, she's in this impossible mm-hmm. position.
100%. Like, once she read it, I was like, don't you wish you could have undid that?
mm-hmm.
Sucks.
So then, if you had read it and you uncovered his big secret, what would you have done next? Would you have told Rachel her whole inner struggle? Like, I completely understood.
Me too.
And mm-hmm. obviously you don't want to blow up your life, but then you're living with a murderer.
Yeah. No, I would have never told Rachel. I would have lived with a murderer and I would have gone on my merry fucking
you would have. But would you think you would have been able to deal with the guilt that comes with that?
100%.
Are you okay?
I'm I don't know. I just like watched her life literally dissolve in front of our eyes. Like, mm-hmm. And she put her, like, she was making it happen. Like, she could have just been like, okay, you did this. Like, and it also begs an interesting question. Like, John Paul accidentally murdered someone when he was 17 years old. Like,
was
does that make
accident?
Him a murderer? Like, is he?
It turns out in the epilogue, it was an accident because she had a rare condition. And if he had choked any other girl who didn't have that condition, she wouldn't have died so quickly.
Right. But he did strangle her.
Yes. No, no. It's not good.
So
we're not
condoning
that. How do you accidentally
strangled once? How do you accidentally strangle someone?
You don't accidentally strangle someone, but you accidentally kill them with your strangulation when they have a rare condition.
But what else are you trying to accomplish when you're strangling someone?
No, like, he wasn't trying to accomplish something good.
Yeah,
like, but he wasn't trying to kill her.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, that's just how I felt. I was like, I really don't associate with him, like, inherently being a killer. Like, I don't think that he had this, like, malicious intention that he was like, I'm going to get this bitch. Like, it was, like, a moment
I
of
agree.
Passion and frustration, and it went too far, some would argue. Some
one might say.
One might say. So I was like, okay, Cecilia, now that you, I always think her name
oh
is
my
Celia,
God.
By the way.
I thought it was Celia too. Like, when I'm reading it, I don't have time for the extra
yeah,
syllable.
No, me neither.
I'm with you.
So I was like, Cecilia, like, you can come to terms with that. He's not an actual murderer. You don't feel unsafe with him. You've never felt unsafe with him your entire existence of being married. So let's move on.
I also love.
But what about Rachel?
She's lived this long thinking that's Connor Whitby.
Justice for Connor.
Like,
he got screwed every which way in this book, and he seems like a really great guy. I actually really did ship him and Tess at the end.
Me too.
Never been happier she was.
We need to talk about Tess.
We haven't talked about Tess yet, and this is the next theme in the book, which is cheating. And the husband's secret is the title of the book, and you assume it's about John Paul's big ass fucking secret. But Will has a secret as well, which is that he's falling in love with Cousin Snitches.
How yes. funny was it when she was like, when did you start falling in love with her? He's like, oh, about 6 months ago. She goes, oh, when she was skinny. It's funny how you didn't look at her when she was fat.
Yeah.
That was such a good line. But yes, secrets are a big thing in the book too.
Yes. And to what degree can you have secrets in a relationship?
I mean, I feel as though, like, every secret that was uncovered or, like, secrets that shouldn't really be a thing in a relationship, like, you should probably not murder someone. You should probably not cheat. And if you are, you should probably, you know, own up to it, which they did. I will give them that.
Okay, but on the flip side, Tess never told Will that she slept with Connor.
Right.
Should she have told him?
No.
Okay. So that's, like, sometimes secrets...
But she only did that because of his secret. Like, that never would have happened if he didn't, quote unquote, fall in love with Felicity. Like, so, yeah, she did to him what he did to her, and that's it.
I agree.
If it's reciprocal, you can keep secrets.
They were on a motherfucking break.
If it's reciprocal, you can keep... I guess there's no standard law. I think everything is case by case. I do think in relationships, sometimes secrets... are necessary in order to protect the person that you love. And I think John Paul not telling Cecilia up until that point, like, was the biggest favor he could have done for her, unless he told her the day they met and she never would have wasted her time with him.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but like, her finding out was the worst thing that could have happened to her.
Exactly.
Even though Janie and John Paul were apparently supposed to end up together.
OTP. That's what the kids say. Yeah, that was also weird. It's like, I had no sense of who was meant to be that together. Because also, Connor and Janie had something really sweet going on. So does that mean that Tess and Will were still supposed to be together?
So Cecilia was the one who was going to get fucked.
That's honestly what I thought was most concerning of all. Like, Cecilia just, like, knowing that her husband loves Janie more than her. Not that he murdered someone.
But did she know that?
I mean, she probably loved her enough to murder her. Yeah.
He but told also, her every detail. He was like, I loved her. I was so upset.
She laughed at me.
Killed her.
Right.
I think that's pretty strong
feelings. What I didn't understand was why Janie didn't choose John Paul. Because she liked him too much.
She didn't think she was good enough. She was an insecure teenager.
I'll tell you exactly what it is. I'm going to give you the perfect analogy. She thought he was too good for her. It's like when Hannah B. chose Jed instead of Tyler because she didn't think a relationship with Tyler could be a real thing because, like, he was just this perfect guy and it was too good to be true.
You know? That makes sense.
That resonated.
You understand. You got to talk to me in bachelor talk and I can understand it.
In young adult bachelor terms.
No, they made a good point. They're like, would you rather, like, be loved, like, and adored and just dazzled and put on this pedestal, or would you rather be the one doing that to someone?
Yeah.
Which
so
raises
true.
A good question.
But Janie is a 17-year-old, like, so smart to think like that. Like, normally you just go after the one you like.
Yeah. But that I feel like that's a question in every relationship. Like, would you rather be the person who likes someone more or the person who's liked more? But I feel like it's a balance that always shifts, like, throughout your relationship. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you want to be liked more, but it's always fun when you, like someone so much.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like it's a seesaw constantly.
I think that's the healthy way, you know?
I think so, too.
We're all in varying relationships. Married, engaged, Dana... relationship Bex, single snitch. Wow, we really covered the gamut.
We really do.
Cool. And we all agree. Love it. Okay, next up, I have a segment that I'm calling DBQ because these are document-based questions, and I'm a history major, and I fucking love this term from 7th grade, DBQs.
DBQs is, like, it's so triggering for me.
Me too.
No, but we're gonna take back the term, okay?
Okay, let's take it back.
Okay. First, DBQ. The Berlin Wall plays a major role throughout the book, a little too major. Or does it even play a big role? We eventually learn that Cecilia met John on the day the wall finally came down, which is an interesting factoid. So what do you think the wall signifies in this book? To me, it was just a mechanism in order to move the story along. And
I just came up with something.
Ooh.
I think that the wall coming down is like all of their relationships falling apart.
Or is it John Paul's wall coming down because he's finally opening up to another human? But even though the physical wall outside is coming down and his internal wall is coming down, it's still always there.
But then Cecilia is building a wall.
Yeah, the effects of the wall are still always there. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I'm going to go with whatever you say since you're the smartest.
Me too. I was literally about to say, yeah, you're
like,
right.
Like, to me, it just was a fun thing that moved the story along. And, like, you know, obviously that's the reason why she found... I'm very literal. Like, that's why
she
found the letter.
No, I didn't fix it on it
at
all.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I was going to say. Like, it just was interwoven and had significance here, and here.
It was just such a random, like, plot device.
It felt because, like, forced.
Me hearing about what this random couple in Melbourne thought about the Berlin Wall coming down, it just, like, doesn't really track.
Yeah, I also didn't even think about it twice until I saw that DBQ.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, no. Like, I noticed it, obviously, but I, like, yeah, the story just, like, wrapped and, like, I never thought about it again, which, like, goes to show it was, I mean, I'm not saying that, like, I'm the speak all, end all of literary symbols, but It just didn't stand
out
to me.
No, I agree with you. Yeah. I was actually annoyed that they kept pushing it on
me
us.
Too.
Like, it was just a way for them to remind us that there's something that exists in each perspective, and I was annoyed.
Yeah, it was kind of like The Biggest Loser, but it's just like less culturally relevant.
Totally.
But I do have a question, because this kid is like so obsessed with the Berlin Wall, and I feel like there are historical events that just like fascinate me like that I could read about forever, not when I was 10 or however old this bitch is, but like the Titanic.
She's 80. Mm-hmm. She's Rachel. I don't understand. Like, I need to know how old she is. It was the one question I came out, and I was like, how old is this bitch?
Yeah, I think she was 10.
Yeah.
10, 11.
No way.
Yeah, because, like, they talked about her grade. Yeah. She wasn't in high school.
She's young. They're definitely young.
She was
young.
Just, like,
they're
a precocious young lady.
Yeah, she just, like, amazing had vocabulary. These intense interests. And, like, more power to her. She'll, like, go to Harvard.
Are there any historical events that you're just, like, fascinated by? Like me and Sully. I'm so obsessed with Sully.
Titanic's a good one. I would say the Holocaust, honestly, is...
Sure.
Something that we all, I think, invest a lot of time in.
And, like, you just read
totally
stories on stories.
Dinosaurs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never been affected by dinosaurs.
The craziest thing in the entire world.
Really?
I always think about, like, if I could transport back to one point in history, like, what would it be? I was like, do I, like, want to see Lincoln shot? Probably not. But, like, I want to see a fucking dinosaur. Fuck yeah.
Wow. I've never thought about it like
that.
Is that
weird?
No.
You and a bunch of 5-year-olds would agree.
Five-year-old boys.
Exactly. Very off-brand. Dana, our resident 5-year-old boy.
Truly.
Like the Holocaust, probably, just because we were so indoctrinated with it growing up that I feel like I know about it the most and I'm interested in it and it's personally affecting. But no, I don't really have historical events that I care about.
Yeah. Also, Chernobyl. Has anyone watched Chernobyl?
Of course.
No, please don't talk about it because it's like on my list of things
that
I need to watch.
I'm just going to talk about like the historical. The miniseries is amazing, but I'm just obsessed with the logistics of Chernobyl.
I don't even know what it is. Yeah, like Hiroshima, like things like that. I'm like, holy shit. Like,
yeah. Even right now, I'm feeling that way about coronavirus. I'm just like, this is a crazy fucking thing. Like every article I see, I read, I just like want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like I have one on the tip of my tongue, but I just can't get it. And I feel like it's something super random. So like, I'll let you know if it comes to me.
9/11?
Oh, yeah. But that's not what I was thinking of.
Yeah. That's also like the stories from 9/11. Just there was a lot about it in I Am Pilgrim, actually.
Yeah.
It's just always an interesting read. Okay, well, I have a really basic fucking question for you guys.
Tell us.
What do you think is the moral of this story?
Some secrets are better left unsaid.
Oh, you do think? But I feel like the secret needed to be unburdened even quicker.
I was about to say, am I being a hypocrite to myself what I said like 20 minutes ago?
Oh, true.
The truth will set you free, or should we keep secrets?
Yeah, I think it's one that it's always like a, I think it's a case-by-case situation.
You keep those secrets.
You keep, okay, but like.
Ritz, like, don't.
No, but in this situation, they should have told Rachel sooner. Like, they should have unburdened themselves sooner because it wound up having, like, a negative chain reaction effect.
I know.
But would Rachel, would she have been so forgiving if she hadn't hit the kid?
No, maybe she would have went and tried to hit John Paul. You know, speeding up towards John Paul and hit Polly.
No, but if Rachel knew, then John Paul would be in jail.
Honestly, it might be what goes around comes around because I feel like everyone got what was coming for them. Like, John Paul goes ahead and kills Janie, and what happens? His daughter is almost killed. And Rachel tries to kill Connor and in turn, like, doesn't rat out John Paul Jones because, like, now he has this carrot. And being like, yo, you tried to kill someone while in turn hitting my daughter, almost killing her.
Right.
Like, it was just like this cyclical series.
Every reaction has a chain reaction.
Yeah.
Poetic justice.
Poetic justice. Yeah, I don't know. I struggle with morals of the story. Like, I feel like there's never one clear-cut one. I just think, for me, you could say this about any book, but it's just like, humans are complex, you know?
Totally.
And there's no right
and
answer.
The human makes experience think. Is just, it's a jagged line.
There are highs and lows.
No, and it's just like, there's just, not everything is so crystal clear. It's very blurry.
Speaking of easily finding out what a book is all about, I am so excited to share with you guys that our sponsor for today's episode is Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. So I love Blinkist because on the one hand, it allows me to get the gist of books that I don't have the time to read, like The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck is something I've been trying to read forever. And with Blinkist, I was able to just get the key points without having to read the whole book. But also Blinkist is great because you can read about a book and and decide if you want to actually read the whole thing. I like Blinkist because it saves me time and it teaches me so much about different reads that I might not have had the time to read. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books. All the books you want and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/bookclub, try it free for 7 days, and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/bookclub to start your 7-day free trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/bookclub.
Whose story did you like the best?
That is such a good question because I remember, like, I loved the Tess and Connor parts. Mm-hmm. And then when we would go to Rachel, if I saw that it was a Rachel chapter, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm not
gonna. I mean, it was so sad.
She made me so sad. She was so lonely.
I liked Cecilia. She had her life together. She had her little, you know, entrepreneurial spirit with her Tupperware business.
I mean, by the way, that has to be our side hustle. That bitch is rolling in dough.
And now I'm like, maybe I need more Tupperware. I only get Tupperware when Olivia sends me home with leftovers, and then I get to keep her Tupperware. But I just feel like that's something after book club. I think this is like part of growing up. Like first you start a book club, then you do a Tupperware party.
You bitches are in two book clubs.
I know. And it's not enough. Once you guys, you're going to see like
you
book
have
clubs.
Multiple podcasts, you know, like we all have our things.
Yeah, for sure. Book clubs are addicting. I love going to the clubs. The book club.
Oh my God. When we were thinking about names.
Book club rat.
When we were thinking about names, we were like the book club. And Jackie was like, we read a book and then we go to the club. And then I was like, no, we read a book and then have book club in the club.
Yeah. We read the book in the club. I think there's something there for sure.
For sure.
Maybe that'll be our first offsite.
Oh my God. Team offsite to the club.
Yes.
If this were a movie or a miniseries, who would you have play who? I'm going to have Snitch go first because she's got it all lined up.
Yeah. I just couldn't help but imagine literally like Nicole Kidman, Reese Witherspoon, Shailene Woodley, Zoe Kravitz, and like Alex Pettifer as Jean-Paul. Was it Alex? No,
and
not Alex.
Meryl
Alex Skarsgård, sorry.
Meryl Streep as Rachel.
Yep. Sorry. Tracks.
It really does.
Meryl Streep's a good one.
Yeah. I think we need a break from Leanne Moriarty
guys,
after this.
You guys know who's playing Rachel.
Who?
Sally Field.
Ooh.
100%.
So sweet. My birthday buddy. So maybe I could get her, you know, if I reach out with that birthday buddy connection.
I saw her the other day in Cafe Clooney.
What? She lives in New York?
I don't know.
What's Cafe Clooney?
It's just like on my corner in the West Village. But it looked like she was doing like a... hosting gig, like all these cameras were on her, like the restaurant was shut down.
Good for her.
I mean, we made prolonged eye contact
because you were like, "Oh my God, Rachel's here!"
Helen Hunt as Rachel.
Helen Hunt,
too young.
I was gonna say, but she is too young. But Hollywood does love to do that, you know, like have people 30 years younger play the role. So that could be a good one. I liked Meryl Streep also because she is sort of ambiguous on is she nice or is she mean.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, that's
okay.
A good point.
For Cecilia, there's only one choice, and it's Reese Witherspoon.
100%.
She is Cecilia. Cecilia is her.
Yeah. They are one and
mainly because that's the character she played in Big Little Lies.
Yeah. And like, yeah, that's the character that Leanne Moriarty keeps writing. And even in What Alice Forgot, like, Reese wasn't who I had in mind, but she could play that role so easily. But I also had January Jones in mind for Alice.
You're talking about a book that we didn't read.
Sorry, but I just feel like a lot of people have read it because... Actually, no, you're reading this book because we told you to. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, I'll stop.
Yeah, no, my alternative to Cecilia, and I had Reese Witherspoon as my number one, and then I was like, January Jones, because I feel like Betty Draper vibes, like really buttoned up, put together, and then like has this like naughty secret.
Yeah, but I did feel Cecilia was a little short, like height-wise.
Oh.
She was giving me short vibes.
Like she actually was giving me extremely tall vibes.
Really?
Yep.
I don't know. I just feel like as a short woman, I related to her.
Yeah.
I had Anne Hathaway for Cecilia.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because
she's like annoying, but together.
I just pictured her as blonde.
Me too.
I did not feel brunette at all.
I didn't feel brunette at all.
But that's
Tess, I felt brunette.
But you know what?
Me too, but I had Anne Hathaway as Tess. But even though all these women are supposed to be middle-aged, Hollywood makes them all younger. So I'm going Anne Hathaway as Tess, and then I had Kate Hudson as Felicity because they were giving me Bride Wars vibes.
Okay, I think we should go like in order. Like, who was all of our Tess?
Who was your Tess?
My Tess, I had either Uma Thurman, because I wanted someone, like, ambiguously beautiful, you know? Like,
ooh.
And I also had Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Whoa.
Ooh, I love her.
I like that one. That's a good one.
Because I feel like Tess, I was like, are you beautiful? Are you not? Like, I feel like Felicity like was just more beautiful than her. So I was like, you can't be too stunning, but like, you can't be ugly.
Yeah. No, right. She is. There's something very beautiful about
like,
her.
Yeah, like Connor was like digging that. So. Mm-hmm.
And she did have short hair.
Yeah.
I had Amanda Seyfried.
For
Tess.
Oh, you like switched up the hair
color.
Well, because she can't
see.
Because she can't see. Yeah. She can't see in her head. That's what I was going to say before. Yeah. It's so interesting. We're all like aligned and she's just completely different.
Yeah. We're aligned and she's blind.
Right. Exactly.
Snitch, who did you have for Tess?
The Big Little Lies people.
Oh, right. Wait, yeah. But which one for? Oh, I think Shailene Woodley for Tess maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Agreed.
But I don't know who I would have put as Zoe Kravitz then.
Ooh.
Janie.
That's a good one.
Oh, I didn't cast Janie in my head.
I
Catherine
did.
Newton.
Oh.
Catherine
the
Newton.
Daughter in Big Little Lies. Hmm. Reese Witherspoon's daughter.
For Janie, I had, she doesn't exist anymore, like, as she was, but Taylor Momsen as Jenny Humphrey in Gossip Girl.
That's a
like,
good one.
That's the vibe I was getting. 17 years yeah. old, just, like, tall, thin, skinny, pretty.
I was doing Zendaya. Is that weird?
Ooh, ooh. I like that. That's
I like... I was not thinking Taylor Momsen vibe at all. Like, I had brunette. Like, I...
Ooh. I had Millie Bobby Brown.
What? What? I guess she is that age. Like that's. The...
I feel like we should give you like a free pass to like dip out of this
yeah,
question
of this segment
because like we're really pushing you into your discomfort zone.
Yeah, and... I also only know a very small subset of actresses.
Yeah, like that's why same people every
yeah, I'm like
that's
rotating
why your perspective is
names.
So valuable for so many other reasons. I also had Saoirse Ronan as a potential Janie.
Ooh, oh, she's a little too delicate.
Yeah.
Janie was bad to the bone.
Yeah, that's why
was
I had Zendaya. Like, she was giving me, like,
Euphoria
vibes.
She just wanted to be
vibes.
A normal girl and, like, lose her virginity to a boy she loved.
Yeah, no, she was just, like, a little bit of a rebellious teen.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay, Felicity.
Felicity. I had Kate Hudson.
For Felicity, I had...
Nicole Kidman?
No, Nicole Kidman, I think, would have been Cecilia.
Oh, so who would be Reese Witherspoon?
Felicity? Shall I? Okay. Cecilia was Nicole Kidman. Reese was Tess. Felicity was Shailene Woodley. Zoe Kravitz was Janie.
Okay, cool.
You know my other Felicity option? Christina Hendricks, who was Joan in Mad Men.
Oh, that's
ooh.
A really good one.
I just...
That's a good one.
I really felt it.
I feel that. I know I didn't ask you guys to come up with any of the male characters because I don't give a shit. But I, in my head, I saw Connor Whitby as Jerry O'Connell. Do you see that?
Nope. Mm-hmm.
You, no? What
nope.
did you say?
I don't know. Just Jerry O'Connell isn't who I see. But then they also said in the book that Connor was kind of like balding. So at first I thought that Connor was like a hot ass, like
no,
older guy.
Is.
But then all of a sudden he's a balding PE teacher.
Okay, maybe if he's a bald hot guy like Jason Statham.
Yeah.
I picture him as like someone from Friday Night Lights, like from that football team.
One of the players?
Or Coach Taylor.
Coach Taylor.
I just don't think of him as that old. Am I wrong?
I mean, they're all like almost 50. They're all the same age.
Oh, God.
Honestly, Kyle Chandler, I could totally see as Connor.
That's a really good call.
Yeah. Mm. And then Alexander Skarsgård as John Paul.
Yeah. I feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, overall, I want everyone to rate this book out of 5 stars so we can give it our official Redheads rating. We will average all of our scores and give it a rating.
Yeah.
How does everyone feel?
Should I get my calculator out?
Yes, actually, please do.
Okay.
Unless someone is a mathematician.
Dana.
Yeah, she'll get it before the calculator does.
Okay. For me, I'm giving this book a 3 out of 5 because 5 for me is like perfect, best book ever. Could read it over and over again. 4 is like thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed. And 3 is like, it was good. I finished it and I read it. But I'm not obsessed.
I'm going to give it a 2.5. This book didn't do it for me. I like to feel something after I read a book. You know, it's like, wow, I can't believe that. Or this. Me, I was just like, thank God this book is done. So it's going to be a 2.5 for me.
Okay.
I would have said that too, Snitch, but I'm doing 3 because of the epilogue.
But that epilogue came out of nowhere.
It was so good.
I loved the epilogue because it was the only time that things are happening. It's like we spent the whole book on 3 days. And then the epilogue gives us a year.
Mm-hmm.
I find that frustrating.
Yeah.
I hate that. Like, imagine if we had read the book when all of that was happening. Do you know what I mean? If
yeah.
that was the story.
But yeah.
No. I know. You guys were so irritated by the epilogue. I really didn't mind it that much.
No, I'm saying I liked it. I wanted the whole book to
Me
be
too.
The epilogue.
Right. I would give it 3 stars as well. I was entertained. It was a page turner for me, which I think is just like, it makes or breaks.
And I think it's great discussion. So I feel like it was a fantastic first choice.
Okay. I'm glad you guys liked it.
But like, I didn't think it was like literary wonder. So that's why I'm not giving it higher.
No, me neither. Hopefully the next book that we choose gets a higher score than the overall score of the Redheads Book Club for The Husband's Secret by Leanne Moriarty is... a 2.875.
That fucking sucks. Sorry, Leanne.
Side note, the craziest part of the epilogue was when they didn't know whose baby Tess was carrying.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Well, I underrated. I really like the book because I think the overall question of would you fucking read the letter is just fascinating stuff. And it's Pandora's box.
Totally.
And it's an eighth wonder of the world.
Also... yeah. Three words. Hot cross buns.
I've never wanted one more in my life. They tried to push on us throughout everything.
No, yeah. I've never wanted one more. Like, where do we get those? Do we have to
That was like, we have to go to Australia. Australia. Maybe, like, next time we read a book, we'll go to the country.
Maybe the next team offsite should actually be not at the clubs, but probably in Australia.
At totally. The buns.
Getting some hot cross buns.
I mean, like, slathered with butter.
I liked that it was set in Australia.
Me too.
I think I assume the author's Australian, even though Big Little Lies was in Monterey. In the movies, but
I actually think it was originally in Australia.
I'm sure it was because she's from there and she writes what she knows.
My Australian coworker said something about that like the other day, which is so funny because I've never seen Big Little Lies or read it.
Oh wow, I guess Monterey is like similar to Australia. I feel like we would like Australia.
I think we would. People love it there.
Yeah, looks beautiful.
Okay.
Can I just add one? I mean, I don't know if we're wrapping up. It sort of seems like we're going in that direction.
No, we're here to stay.
So, one thing I thought was so crazy was, like, Tess and Will, they reconcile, you know, like, they reach this point where they're like, okay, we're going to move forward for the sake of Liam. However, in, like, the subsequent kind of hours and, like, days, weeks, whatever it was, she was like, okay, I'll give it until Christmas. Like, if you still miss Felicity by Christmas, you can go to her. I was just like, bitch, you got your way. Like, you have your family intact. Why are you giving him all these outs? Like, it's self-sabotage.
So that if he takes the out, she can take Connor.
Do you really think that? Like, her, like, hot, passionate thing with Connor is, like, her lifelong dream?
I don't know. I think the life that she would have lived if she stayed in Melbourne with her mom, like, it just would have been a simpler life. You know, mm-hmm. She wouldn't be running her own agency or anything. And, like, Connor was just a simpler man, you know? And I think the week that she was staying with her mom and it was just her and Liam. Also, by the way, you have a nephew named Liam, Rebecca.
I mean, it's not just he's a nephew. Like, he's an angel sent from heaven.
He really is. He's a precious gem of a man.
He's the most precious. Like, I mean, he's truly... there aren't enough descriptors that capture the essence of this small young tot. So, I mean, yeah, like, we could say that I have a nephew named Liam, but, like, he's so much more than that.
I actually envisioned Liam to be played by Liam.
Oh, my God.
Liam Ricketts to play the role.
Oh, what an honor.
Yeah. No, so I think that, like, it was just an easier choice. Like, the way she just kind of regressed back to her mom's, like, if Will had run off of Felicity, like, she had this plan B and, like, she wasn't going to sweat it, you know? And I don't know. I just feel like if someone said to me, like, oh, I'm in love with someone else, I'd be like, okay, bye. And if even if you want to come back, like, bye. And, okay, we have to make it work because we have a kid. Okay, fine. But if you want to leave, like, bye, I'll be fine.
I think she did that, too, because she still reserved such intense loyalty for Felicity that part of her, like, did feel bad that her cousin loved her husband. And if they really had feelings for each other, like, she didn't want to stand in the way. Like, can we give her the benefit of the doubt of maybe it was genuine?
Well, yeah, it might have been genuine because I wouldn't want to stand in the way either of two people who don't like me, you know?
Yeah.
I'd be like, go, and I have Connor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, get the fuck out of my face, Hope. Yeah.
I genuinely believe that I know that Felicity loved Will, but I don't think that Will loved Felicity. Like, I think that he was like, okay, this, like, hot bitch is into me, like, tasty, but... She kept being like, I know you guys are in love with each other. Like, I know you're in love. And he's like, no, we're not in love. Like, I just told you what happened. Like, I got distracted, but I love you. And, like, I want this family to be together. And she's like, no, but I know it's love. Like, stop forcing it.
Well, it has to be love, truly, because they didn't even have sex. He broke up his whole family, even when Tess, like, was first hearing it and she would have done anything for it to be better. Like, you don't do that unless you fucking love someone.
Agreed. Oh, held hands on the plane.
That was so off. I mean, like, I would not take him back if I found out that he was holding hands with her on the plane. Like, that was
the worst part.
That was maybe, like, the hardest part of me to read in the book.
Honestly, I don't think I would have taken him back, especially when I had just such a fabulous week in Melbourne eating hot cross buns. Like, the week was so fabulous. Like, everyone wanted a piece of Tess. Like, she had new best friend Cecilia. I really wish that they had fostered that relationship a little bit more. They really needed each other. And, like, knowing that your husband was always secretly in love with your cousin, and even if he's not, you're always going to wonder if he is. I can't deal with that.
Yeah. Totally.
I liked also the progression from when she first found out to when she had time to reflect and she started remembering things differently. Like, that always happens to people when they get really shocking news and you, like, rethink everything and you revisit history. She did a good job of that.
And when then, like, everything starts making sense.
When she was like, why couldn't she fall in love with someone else's husband? And it's like, oh, we didn't hang out with anyone else. Like, I only gave her one person. And I feel like that's a very real thing. You know, like, you love someone and you trust someone, but the more you put your husband, like, in front of the same person every single day, like, you're asking for trouble.
Totally.
Big time.
I feel like you don't even let us hang out with Zach. Like, more than twice a month. You're like, I don't want to, like, just dangle something in front of him.
I just, like, want to hang out with you guys, just us, and do a book club. Like, right. He doesn't need to rain on my parade.
I mean, it's so true. Like, they were a throuple.
They were a throuple.
And at some point, someone gets edged out.
Yeah. No, totally.
I also loved how Tess was really curious about what the therapist thought of her. Like, I feel like that's relatable. Like, if someone tells you that they're talking to your therapist about you, you, like, change your behavior so that they're telling them good things.
Yeah. So true. And then Tess was talking about her social anxiety and how, like, Felicity sort of fostered that.
I had no patience for her social anxiety throughout the book. And then when Felicity was like, shut up, this isn't a thing, I was so vindicated. But then when Will was like, I want to, like, figure this out together with you, I felt kind of bad. I was like, oh, maybe, like...
No, I mean, if she had... She diagnosed herself from a magazine, so that was my only issue.
She's just making too big a deal about it. Yeah. That's what I think. Like, maybe it was true. Like, she's like, there's millions of us walking around on this planet with social anxiety, according to Cosmo.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, I'm sorry. I can't take you seriously.
Totally. Damn. Like, if that's her thing, fine. But, like... I do think Felicity is, like, kind of a bitch to dismiss it. Like, Tess, stop talking about it. No one cares.
I think, I mean, there's just different kinds of people, some who are sensitive to it and like, who are going to be coddling and help you get through it. But then there's also people who are like, oh, that's something that you can do without.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like Felicity had also been her crutch all of her life, so she never had to deal with it. So it's no wonder that that same crutch is like, no, you have a crutch. Yeah. I'm right here. You know,
I was just so happy when it was vocalized that way, because every time I read it, I would get so annoyed.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Okay, well, that's the husband's secret. This has been such a fun first episode. I do agree that it was a great first book. I'm so excited for our next book, and next month is Becky's choice. So, Bex, what do you have for us next month?
I have Red, White, and Royal Blue, a novel. So this is by Casey McQuiston, and the reason why I selected this novel, I felt like, is very of the moment. There are some royal undertones. Ooh. There's some romantic undertones. So it was giving me kind of like Megxit vibes.
Yeah. Love that.
And I also think that the redheads will just like really vibe with this like kind of romance-y situation we have in front of us. Also, it had a great rating on Goodreads, and I think like that's really key.
Do you guys trust that rating?
100%.
I've never looked at it.
And like the husband's secret rating was decent.
What was it? 2.875?
It was in the threes.
Oh, we should have known.
2.875. No, it was in the threes, which like I'm okay with, but I'd really prefer a four.
Me too.
4 point whatever out of five. Like that's like when I know it's going to be good. So like this is there.
It's like Uber.
Yeah. I mean, and if we're going to play that game, I'm below average.
Are you below the husband's secret redhead's rating or
above? She's not below 2.875.
No, I'm not below that, but okay. I'm close.
Okay, well, I'm excited to read this book. I love royals, except like it's hard for me because then sometimes I'll conflate like what I read in a book about the royals and Meghan and Harry, and then I'll start saying on the toast like, oh, Meghan and Harry went to Japan, but it's what I read in a book, you know?
Hopefully that doesn't happen. Yeah. We'll keep you straight.
Thank you.
It's kind of new to the fiction scene, so I feel like it's very on trend.
Cool.
Can't wait to read it.
I'm excited.
And have more than 4 days.
I mean, I will have to read it. I won't be able to start it until 2 days before we record because it'll take me a few days to read it and then I completely forget about it.
Yeah.
I finished The Husband's Secret like 2 days ago and I was still like, wait, what did we read?
I know.
It's hard.
It really is.
But some books, I mean, the best books stick with you.
Yeah.
And you can't stop thinking about them. And those are the books we're striving for here at the Redheads Book Club.
I mean, I finished Husband's Secret about 3 hours ago.
Super fresh.
Yeah, it's really fresh in my head.
Jackie, were you squirming when Rachel had shit in her teeth?
Cecilia didn't know how to tell her.
Literally, I felt Cecilia. I wouldn't have said anything, and I would have sat there and prayed that it went away.
You wouldn't have said anything.
You really are Cecilia. Sorry, just hit me.
But like, what does a normal human being, like, I'm not normal. That stuff gives me so much anxiety. Rebecca, you're a resident normal person because you're very, like, socially apt.
Yeah.
What would you do in that situation?
I think I would just be like, no, actually, I don't think I would have said anything, honestly.
Especially because you have to think about the fact that the whole time she was thinking about how her husband killed her daughter. So yeah. It wasn't just a normal situation.
And Rachel was talking about Janie like she was being emotional. You don't just stop someone and tell them. Yeah, like, even I could be having the most positive conversation with, like, Zach, for example. If he tells me I have something in my teeth, like, I'm mad at him. It makes me so mad.
Because at least if you see it yourself afterwards, you can convince yourself that it was Brand.
Just got there.
Yeah. Oh, this just happened.
I wouldn't say anything.
You don't say anything. Because honestly, no one actually gives a shit. Like, if you're the person seeing it happen, yeah. Like, you're not thinking about it 2 days later. So who
cares?
She's
also in the comfort of her own home.
It's only two people. It's not like you're in front of a group of people and, like, you need to do this person a solid.
You don't do it. You don't say it. You don't put it out there. That's bad karma.
That chapter also ended so annoyingly when she was like, I know who killed my daughter. And then I spilled hot water all over my hand. And then it switches. Like, everything was like that. Like, cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dramatic ending.
I know. Basically, the moral of my story is, like, I guess I want every secret kept from me. And I want to keep every secret.
Yeah. It definitely makes me just want to keep secrets. It also makes me not want to, like, do things that would require me to deal with these struggles, you know?
Like, watching Cecilia just, like, blurt out her husband's truth, her husband's secret to Rachel, I was like, bitch, what is you doing?
Oh my God, I was like, thank God, please, like, this is the time.
Oh, it's, God.
This has gone on far too long.
No. Keep that deep. Deep, deep inside you.
But then Rachel would have felt...
We don't really know anything about Rit because she keeps everything inside of her.
I just want things to not fall apart in front of me.
But then Rachel would have felt so terribly. It's like, not only is she grieving, but she now feels terribly because she hit a girl who lost her arm. And it's like, all of that guilt could be alleviated from her, as well as, like, the open book of her daughter's murder. Everything could really just be... like, you have to tell her.
Yeah,
because I'm Cecilia, I can tell you, I had to tell her.
No, I liked in the support group when they referenced that man they were so mad at being like, I'll let you know now once you find out who the killer is, it doesn't make things that much better. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know how much better she felt knowing.
I have to imagine you feel better. I have to imagine. Just like knowing how your daughter spent her final moments. And, you know, in the epilogue, they say that eventually Rachel will, like, sit down with John Paul and find out what happened.
Yeah.
That has to make her feel better.
Also, it was the first night that she had a proper night's sleep once she found out. So, like, even within itself, that's saying something.
That tells the reader she felt better.
Yeah. That she felt some relief.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Ladies.
We really excavated that one.
Truly.
Thank you guys so much for being part of this book club. I hope you have enjoyed the podcasting experience. And Redheads out there, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. Please join the Facebook group, The Redheads, if you are a fan of this podcast, so we can talk about this book, the next book, and just share book recommendations with each other. Also, for next month's episode, we will be taking questions from you guys so that we can answer your burning questions about the book. I think that would be really fun.
So fun.
If you have any other notes about this episode or things you want to see us do in the future, head over to The Redheads on Facebook or at The Redheads Book Club on Instagram. Make sure to follow us. Please subscribe to this podcast. Give it 5-star rating. You know, we need to build up our ratings. It's intimidating having a new show, 0 ratings, but it's a clean slate.
Been there.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a while. So head over to the podcast store anywhere you get your podcasts. 5 stars for The Redheads Book Club, please. We love you guys.
Love
this
you guys.
So fun. We will see you next month.
See you next month.
Bye.
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 Hey,
boy.